So if money represents our time, our energy, our health, and our limited time on this planet, you know, we want to like honor it.
Welcome to the Phase 4 podcast, inspired by Vishen Lakhiani and Ajit Nawalkar, co-founders of EverCoach, a division of Vine Valley. In this podcast, we speak to coaches and creatives about where they were, where they are, and where they are going. This is the intersection of what we focus on expands, and your story is your superpower. My guest today is Wave Mullane. She's a life coach, and she's going to talk about her journey today and give us some nice tools to work with and explore all the stuff that we love to explore on the show. So maybe grab a pen and a paper and let's get right into it. But Wade, welcome to the podcast.
Hello. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, I'm excited. So we were just talking a little bit off and you're a life coach. You have a background in finance as well. So that helps once we get the life coaching stuff figured out. But maybe can you give us a little bit of more detail about who you are, where, how you ended up in this space?
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, thanks again. I just, you know, pre-warning, I'm like a golden retriever. I'll get really excited. And so, yeah, so for me, I call myself a financial coach, which is, like you said, very much under the umbrella of life coaching, in the sense that I am different than a financial advisor who tells you what to do or doesn't and just tells you to pay them and they'll take care of it. So I help people gain the confidence and get control of their money and center it in their lives. And I even dare say fall in love with their finances so that they can live like a really free life. And that's kind of where that's my prerogative. I really crave that freedom and just that sense of being wild in life. So
beautiful. I love it. So yeah. Money is a little bit of freedom, right? People can't say money can't buy you happiness, but it can buy you freedom, and that can make you happy, maybe. I understand the sentiment, but so you, what would it look like to work with you before? Like, because the money thing is a little bit of a different angle. We talked to lots of life coaches, yeah, some financial coaches, but usually they're separate. But it sounds like yours is not separate. It's all holistic, which makes perfect sense.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think it's so funny, right? Because money is so taboo. And we are just like not really ready to talk about it in a group setting. And I just thrive on this because I don't, you know, if you've ever felt isolated, especially around money, like I'm sinking, I've made bad decisions. Plus the system, maybe it's not built to, you know, support us. It feels like we're paddling upstream, right? Those feelings totally suck, and I am so excited to like blow that bubble. Like, let's bring this into the light. Let's talk about this in a more holistic way. And yeah, if we were robots, the equation would be like spend less than you make and invest early and often. And that is in theory, right? But there's so much more to it. And yeah, money buys you some things, and really though, right, it represents your life force energy. It represents, it somehow represents everything. I don't know how it does it, but it does. So I get really excited to talk about it because, like I said, it's so taboo, and that just like makes me want it more. And just seeing and feeling and talking to my clients and people that I'm around often, everyone's laying awake at night, you know, we're filled with fear, guilt, and shame. And like, I just can't have that. You know what I mean? Like, we have too much to do, too many beautiful spirits, too much peace to wage. And so my idea is if I can bring some relief to people's lives by like bringing it into the forefront, feeling confident, feeling like we have somewhere to go with it, we can then do the things we actually wanted to do with our lives. So man, I was just telling someone today, JP, that like I saw this sticker on a phone pole, on like a phone pole, and it said cradle to grave, and it had this like really dark image of it. And I was like, oh, I feel this so much because I have had that sense. Like, what inspired me to get into this was that, like, my life was planned. I would have to, like, be under the boot of money, of corporate life, of the government, like, whatever was going to keep me trapped. And I was $30,000 in debt, and, like, I was absolutely under the boot. And I remember seeing that sticker and being like, no cradle to grave for me. Like, I'm going to wear, like, whatever I want, and I'm going to do whatever I want, and I need to figure this out. So, yeah, I just get excited because it's like this break-free feeling. And now that I'm on this side of the tunnel, I just want to, like, call people through.
Like, I hear you. So was there, like, an exact moment where you're like, man, I'm not doing this forever?
You know, yeah, there was, like, just a few moments. So there's, like, good stuff where I was like, this is what I want to do with my life. And then the bad stuff where I was like, this is preventing me from doing what I want. And I remember doing, like, a self, so I'm very into self-help, like, all praises to Louise Hay, the godmother of everything. And I was doing some kind of workbook or journaling, and it all came down to one word, and it was sovereign. And I wanted to feel sovereign, and, like, I absolutely was not feeling that way. So something snapped. I fell into a community of people. I had a friend show me how to do a budget, like, thing, you know, she showed me the way, and now I budgeting the sexy kind of budgeting, you know what I mean? Like, how do we fund and blow money on all the things I love to do and, like, slash the things I don't care about? Like, right. We want to, like, sexy budgeting, good. Boring budgeting, bad. That's how I felt. Right. So yeah, it's just been a journey, and I'm so excited to share it.
Awesome. I love your energy. I'm sure people are listening on audio only can feel their energy, but if you could see it, like, it's coming through the screen, and I see the light. You're a light worker, and I love it. And I think there was a time when I used to think being $30,000 in debt was a big deal. Now it's like, there's, like, so much worse, right? It was, like, the thing. And that's probably because at that time, money was really controlling more. So then, not knowing the whole time, that I was, like, just following the pattern that was happening, right? We can't afford that. Money doesn't grow on trees. Like, no, actually it does. That's how money's made, with paper for trees. And
yeah, I like that one. It's literally made out of trees. My dad used to say that.
Right. And then it goes in, right? Or, like, always looking at the sales or talking about, got this on sale, and, like, slow down, right? You're just bringing it on without even knowing it. But one thing I recently learned, a limiting belief about money, is it's not the same common one that I'm sure you see all the time. Mine was that I just don't care. Like, I can't really hold on to it because I just don't care. Like, I'll get it, I'll spend it, more comes, whatever. And that was a real surprising realization, almost, that, oh, that's my money block. It's not the same money block where it's lack and scarcity. It's that I just don't care enough to hold on to it. So now, I just figured this out a couple months ago, but now I'm starting to think and reconsider, and, okay, let's invest a bit more up front, and then if the other stuff goes away, at least I have more. But what would you say you see? I'm sure the same couple of patterns happen all the time, but maybe what are a couple of the biggest ones you see?
Yeah, you know, I really like yours because in some way it's a really beautiful sense of flow. Like, right, we want to be like an open channel. So it's like things come in, they gently leave, they're going to come in again. And, you know, the opposite could happen where you get panicked and you just start hoarding and nothing's leaving. And yeah, the way we all grew up and the stories our parents told and the way that society presents it, it's a lot to like unlock in your brain. And there is, I definitely love going over the numbers with people and doing the financial education, but there is so much to just who we are. So I love that you've, like, identified something that, like, maybe impacting, like, yeah, like the best version of you. So, you know, a lot of the patterns I see, you know, especially in, like, this community, right? It feels disingenuous to want money And then when we do talk about abundance, it can get a little like toxic positivity, like we are in abundance and money just comes to you. And that all is true. And right, we always have to take action. So I have a lot of small entrepreneurs, a lot of life coaches who they really want to build the thing, and we have to do the practical side. So yeah, I see like a little bit of both. And so I have a phrase where it's like, why this, you know, spiritual community needs to get their financials together. We have kind of a little bit of everything. We know there's abundance in the universe. We know the quantum field is available. And the only thing stopping us is our belief system. So we got to dig into beliefs. So yeah, I see sometimes a little bit of like, and now forgive me because I'm going to go like into like people get into upper energy centers and they're just like focused on their dreams. And we also have to remember that we're grounded on the three-dimensional planet. And like, look, I didn't make the rules here. Okay, guys. So, like, if it were up to me, I'm like a unicorn Pegasus. So I love merging these two. Like, let's just go wild and dream big. And also the practicalities of the planet. Like, and there's something there about the Earth, the way things work, the way, you know, the rain falls, the ground sucks it up. There's just all these geometrical mathematical principles. And I think that can be for us too, that it doesn't have to be like, you know, we live in this capitalist society and like, we have a really weird medical system that's taking people down. Like it can feel really gritty, and just being radically honest about that is okay. And also like, how are we going to do this though?
Yeah.
So I'm not sure I answered your patterns question, but like I said, I'm a golden retriever and I might get excited.
That's okay. I have two golden retrievers here.
You do?
And like a while last year, they had 11 puppies.
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited right now.
I will send you a couple of videos. It was intense.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah.
So something you said way earlier about money when we were talking there at the beginning was that energy. You said something energy, but the word is energy, right? That it's just the energy, it comes and goes. You want it to flow. And you also talked about scheduling budgeting. And so can you expand on budgeting for someone who's just like, man, this conversation's resonating and I can never keep money and I always feel like I don't have enough. But
yeah,
they need a budget.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's two things there, right? Just the practical side of this is like the word budget is, it's almost like I want like a new word because nobody wants to do it. Like I am a free spirit and an adrenaline junkie sometimes. And like the last thing I want to do is do a budget, right? And like, granted, I'm wearing my button down today, but like we want to feel like good and live our intuitive lives, not be strapped to something, right? And I like budgeting in the sense of optimizing and maxing out like the things that I really, really love. And they're not just things I love, but things that really fill my existential cup. And so, you know, I do core value work with my clients so that we know here's what really makes me feel less alone in the world. Here's what makes me laugh. Here's what brings me joy. And kind of going from there, like breaking out, okay, how is that reflected in my spending? So when we do budgets, when I do budgets, and I definitely recommend a few different places to go. One, if you find me, I actually have a free 3 months with youneedabudget.com, which is YNAB, which is like probably one of the more famous ones. But, you know, when you look at what you spent, let's say in January, the first step is tracking. You got to just stare at it. What did I do? And it's okay. Sometimes it's really revealing. The first time I did it, I cried. I was like, I don't even have anything to show for where my money has been going. I have a client of mine who just got so angry. Like, oh, this is the upgrade. So, and it may not be bad. Maybe you are really living tight, right? So there's a lot of, I definitely come from like a community of people who are typically disenfranchised by the system, either on purpose, intentionally or unintentionally. And it's not to say that, like, this is perfect, right? There are times where we need to get creative, make more income, generate wealth, right? But if we're just doing the budgeting part, we're tracking, we're putting into some basic categories, and then we're looking at, like, what's fun. Like, on my budget, y'all, I have a line item that is just, like, blow money on travel, right? I just really want to travel. And I also have one that's, like, save the manatees. Like, I really want to make sure that I'm donating money to manatees, that I get to go travel to help support them, because that's, like, really important to me, right? So my clothing budget went down to almost, I think, $15 a month, if not less, because I just decided I will figure it out, because it's not my favorite thing in the world. Now, if you talk to, like, my sister, her favorite thing in the world is clothing. So, like, we need to fund that part of her budget, right? So, all good. Everyone's unique, and it's a neutral practice. So tracking, categorizing, making some decisions on your priorities. And really, like you said earlier, sometimes you just start living the default life. And you forget who you are and what dreams you want. And you realize, dude, I do not need to spend this much at Target or Amazon or anywhere. It's just not filling me up. Like, it gives us emotional hits that feel good and, like, not necessary anymore.
Yeah,
so
right.
I hope that makes sense as far as, like, what first steps to take.
Yeah, like, those emotional hits are really fleeting and fast. And then afterwards, then when the money's not there, it's like that thing's not filling you up anymore. I love this. So there's a lot. So money is an emotion. There's a couple things in there where, like, money has no, it's not emotional, I think, anyway. And so sometimes, like you said, the person gets angry or sad about it. And really, it's just money. It's energy, like we said at the beginning. But awareness is huge. And then if anybody heard that last exchange, it was thinking, this is good. This is what I'm going to do. I believe you were saying, first, you have to do the core value work, and then you can figure out where your dollars are going. You'll already see where your dollars are going, and that will help you realize if you're in line with your own values or not. But do the core value work first.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, because, you know, it's typically not a math problem. Like, we're not robots. We deserve. And a really important part of the budgeting process is flexibility. You know, I didn't plan to buy this crystal behind me. I had some other plans, but I really wanted it and I blew money on it and I probably got that emotional hit. And that's okay, right? We don't have to be so strict about it. I had some feelings, like, I was like, man, I was really trying to hold on to that for something else, for some fun, some other fun thing. But, oh, well, you know, it's okay. And so that's a really important part of it, too. We have to be so gentle with ourselves around that, because it's not like, oh, I'm not staying in line with my budget and this is why I suck. It's like, yeah, I'm a human. Of course I wanted this crystal. It's really cool. But can I shift money around? So that's, like, a really important principle that the YNAB app has in it. And the reason I speak about YNAB, it is the, there are lots of apps out there to use. It's the one I use to get out of debt. And I'm a certified coach for them too, which just means that I've kind of, like, mastered the program. But honestly, anything works, even paper. You can do envelopes at home. We recently labeled an envelope at home called Orcas Forever. And it's like $37.50 in every week to go see some orcas up in Washington. So the envelopes work too.
So this is huge, because you talked about that earlier with the manatees, and this is now travel. And a lot of people want to travel. They just don't think they can afford it. But if they look at what they're spending and just take that same money that's already going somewhere. Yeah, like you said, clothes. We don't need as much clothes. Minimalist life sounds like it might play into it as a good option to help you do the things. And it sounds also like that happiness, not whole, is... it comes more from those experiences of going to those places than having, like, the clothes all the time. Sometimes, yeah, you want a new pair of shoes, whatever. But I don't know. This is a really interesting conversation. So what about investing? What kind of things do you like? Crypto or anything like that?
Yeah, so investing, like, so individual, right? I definitely have a lot of clients who feel like it's not in line with their work to be putting money into, let's say, like, the stock market. If they did, I'm always, you know, total stock market index. We call it VTSAX and chill, right? Which is like a ticker symbol. But I'm definitely a fan of utilizing those myself. But I absolutely want to honor people who don't feel in connection with that. So there's just a million ways to kind of go about it. You know, it can be, yeah, it can be the market. It can be real estate. Some of these like bigger things that we all know about. I'm really in favor of people starting nonprofits or starting businesses to kind of like feel into their passion and then start building into their communities. Yeah, but you know, it can get complicated. I struggle with this myself. I know I'm investing in, you know, there are ethical funds to invest in, which I love the idea. Companies that you absolutely know and love and support. So it's really individualistic. I feel strongly though that we should utilize what we've been given. So we have a lot of tax advantaged accounts, which is like the Roth IRA and the IRA. Now, when I started this, I didn't know what a Roth was. I don't know what that word means. I thought 401k was a $401,000. Do you know what I mean? So just so everyone knows, these are just such fancy words and they really just make you feel like you don't know what you're doing. And like, that's like my goal is to be like, no, don't worry. We don't know why it stands for 401, to be honest. And I believe Roth was a Senator Roth. So it's just so annoying. Like, they could just call these so much better things. Like, this is your unicorn expense account for when you die. That's much easier for me to remember.
Cool.
So I do like to teach people how to use those, get in tune with that. Like, definitely pay yourself first, right? Don't steal from Future Wave because she's going to need money. She wants to retire. She doesn't. Now, retiring doesn't mean like not working. It just means I don't have to work for somebody else if I don't want to. So yeah, there's just like that kind of cool idea of like demystifying personal finance, demystifying investing. How can we get compound interest into your life where money doubles on itself in those accounts in a way that feels good to people?
Yeah.
And crypto is certainly fun. There is now an ETF, so you can buy like the actual coins, right?
I know.
And now you can buy the ETF, and I'm so excited because you can just in Fidelity inside your retirement account, you can buy a fund that covers so many coins. And it's like a really safe way to enter the market for people, but it's also saying that they think it's real, right? They're anticipating it's here to stay.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's weird because it was like so high and then it just dropped off. And then now all of a sudden, once these big companies like BlackRock did that with the ETF, now it's way back. And now like before it was like when it was at 50, people were like, it's going to go to 100. Now people are like, it's going to go to 1.5 million.
Yeah.
It's like, what? You guys all jumped when it went down to 30 for a minute. But yeah, what I'm hearing too and learning from this conversation is I'm a holistic guy. Like for me, like if something over here, you're not sleeping right, that's why you can't do this over here with your work or whatever. Your relationship's affected because you're eating the food. Like I'm no exercise, whatever.
Mm.
But what I'm realizing from this conversation is it can't just be holistic in like what's going on in your life right now. We also have to have that balance and holistic approach for the long term of 40-year-old, 50-year-old, 60-year-old self.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, and that's like a hard one to grasp. Like I am a very much probably like your dogs, right? Like I love living in the right now. So that's why I like to teach people to automate. You know, have things just going to your future self. You don't even have to worry about it. Then you can, you know, I always talk about blowing money because I love the idea of spending. I think spending's fine. And sometimes, like, you have, like, I remember making, you know, $7 to $10 an hour. And and have it. Yeah, $30,000, and that did feel so big at that time. And like you said, people are even. I have clients in 200,000-300,000, right? So I've been doing this about 7 years. So there's just, yeah, I think I just got lost for a minute in all those feelings. I still have feelings about it, right? But, you know, how are you going to get in the mindset that you care about your future self? That's a tough one, right? It's like a dig deep moment. But once you get used to it, you just pay yourself. It leaves your account before you even touch it.
Yeah,
you're not even putting this emotional part of yourself in, because like I said, I just had emotions around it. I'm like, geez, you know?
Yeah. But those automations are huge.
Yeah. Automations are good. I love doing the, like you said, like we were talking about this life force energy. So if money represents our time, our energy, our health, and our limited time on this planet, you know, we want to like honor it. And it literally is representing that. So we just, I have this thing where like whenever I pass cash to people, which I know is pretty unusual now, but I unfold it and I hold it with two hands and I offer it out. Someone taught me that and I just love it, because I think we're used to folding it and passing it to people.
Oh yeah, there's a guy named Ken Honda. He's like a money guru. He helps Japanese billionaires. Like, that's who he works with, right? And he talks about money like that, where, like, when you get a bill, don't get upset that you have to pay this $800 bill. When you send the money intentionally, like that you're going to support that person, if it's like a plumber or something, right? You're helping that guy's family. Now that guy has money, and it's all connected anyway, so like view it that way, and it changes the vibration of everything. It's the same money, yeah. You're still spending it.
Yeah, I think that's where like you come in though. Like you're like, I'm in flow. Like I like, right, the only switch there would be like, oh, I care about it deeply, and I'm going to pass it to the next place, right? And so I love like the, yeah, kind of combining those two thoughts is really cool.
Yeah. Let's talk about life coaching a bit. Tell us about your life coaching approach. I know we covered a lot and we went to money for a while, but like what kind of tools maybe would you use? Obviously everyone's different, but what are some of your favorites?
Yeah. You know, for me, I love, like we spoke about earlier, that core value work. I have like, I think a list of like 120 core values, and I have ones that like aren't traditionally on most sheets. And I love discovering this with people. Something that's really important to me, like we spoke about earlier, is just that flexibility. Like, or even core values shift. And so for me as a coach, I believe it is my job to stand out of the way, in the sense of everyone deserves to fail and have their aha moments. It is not my job to prevent you from either of those. So how does that work, right? It's like, I always, I think I have it on my Instagram. It says like, you know, best friend, I'm going to be your best friend on your financial adventure. And so I kind of see it as us going into the woods together, or on like that epic journey quest, Lord of the Rings style, like I will be your Sam, you know what I mean? So it's an honor to me. Like, I wouldn't want anyone to steal my thunder. So I really avoid, there is a teaching component, but right, I'm really more interested in my clients freaking know more than me, like ultimately.
Yeah, there's a bit of consulting, but the coaching is they have to find it out. And I like you brought that earlier, is we often think of coaching like sports, right? Where like the coach is like, you do this and you do that. But that's not what coaching is at all. Coaching is like the opposite. It's like, what do you want to do? You tell me what's going on. And
yeah, you tell me.
You gotta just ask those provocative questions.
Definitely. Definitely. Have you ever done, have you heard of heart math?
Yeah,
I'm just a huge fan of heart math, so.
But yeah, I love that, to get centered real fast is just a heart, breathing in and out through your heart.
I was just thinking today, like, how do I know who I am when I'm like, I've got five senses and they're always telling me what to do. I've got advertisements. I've got people inundating me. Like, how do I really know what my core values are? And I have this joke right now that, like, people tell me they can't meditate. And I'm like, well, have you ever closed your eyes? And they're like, that's not meditating. I'm like, so what's meditating? You know what I mean? Like, a heart bath, they are just like, for 1 minute, count to five and breathe, right? But the magic there is turning some senses off, turning off the world, getting really clear about who you are. It's honestly, I think it's like the scariest part for some of us to do alone. I don't like to do that process alone often. I'm like, I'd rather do it with somebody or with people.
Yeah, no, it can definitely be lonely and I don't know if scary is the word. It's close, though.
Yeah, it's like, you know, that
uncomfortable,
like,
right?
Uncomfortable is a good word. I love that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like sometimes we're more nervous to feel how good we can feel than we're nervous to feel how bad we can feel.
Yeah, that's that lifetime of lack and just negativity and being part of that 95% is that it's just when you do get that feeling, it's almost like we sometimes think we don't deserve to feel that way, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, totally ridiculous. I mean, so I definitely do.
All right, so as we begin to wind down, if this episode resonates with you, reach out to Wave. She's going to help you with everything we've been talking about. And if you feel like leaving a review, that would be awesome, but no hard sell. And so, Wave, I think I always ask everybody, this is the Phase 4 podcast, and Phase 4 in the six-phase meditation by Vishen Lakhiani is all about creating a future 3 years from now. So where is Wave 3 years from today?
Oh, yeah, y'all. So Wave is definitely, you know, helping the manatees down in Belize. My goal is to 1,000% help my community and individuals rise up in their finances. I can't wait. How do you 3 years? JP, what's your 3 year?
Yeah, it's just an evolution of what I'm already doing. So, like, started off just trying to help other people. That snowballed into coaching. Then there's this. There's some other volunteer work I do. So I'm trying to get it bigger and bigger. This year, I'm doing a bunch of summits with speakers. And I want to become a better speaker. So I joined, like, Toastmasters.
Cool.
I did the International Speech Competition. And so all these things are just expansion of where I'm already going, and that's exactly what Phase 4 is. It's just, okay, focus on what you want in your future, and then it will expand. If you keep revisiting that same dream every day, you come back every time with a little bit more detail. And some cool thing happens is, like, you try to think and plan for it, but there's parts that happen that you don't know along the way that end up you just didn't expect, or like good stuff, right? Just parts that you didn't account for. So it makes it even better than your actual dream when you get there, which is awesome.
This resonates with my core value of magic. So I'm right there with you.
Yeah. And so I might as well give away this tool if everybody's listening, because we're talking about core values, but it's called the Values in Action Character Strength Survey, VIA. And if you go to a website called AuthenticHappiness.org. It's a University of Pennsylvania website. Navigate there to the VIA Character Strength Survey. Fill it out, and it will give you your top five values. And everyone, it seems to be really accurate for everyone. So I would encourage you, go check out that website, do the survey, get your values, and then notice them in your life over the next few weeks, and you'll be amazed.
Awesome.
And so I guess we got a little bit of travel, which is cool, because I do like to talk about travel books. You mentioned Louise Hay, but maybe what are some of your other mentors or guides that have got you to this point, or books or whatever?
Yeah, you know, it's so funny. Every time I find a new book, a new person I love, I absolutely adore Dr. Joe Dispenza. I love his books, his work. I've been going to his... I went to his week-long. I'll be going to an advanced follow-up. The book that I like the most is Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. And if you follow his work, he's, you know, right? He's very intellectual and on all these things. And sometimes I just laugh because when it takes him, like, you know, 10 minutes to talk about Louise Hay, I'll read one sentence of hers and it's somehow encapsulated right there. And it's almost like you think she, you know, she's on her own wavelength and it's simple and he's complicated, but it's all the same. And that's what I love. You know, a big inspiration for me is, you know, she's passed recently, but she's the poet Mary Oliver. And she loved nature. She loved her dogs. She's a lesbian writer and she's just fabulous. And somehow she's the one who asks us, what will you do with your one and precious life? And she just has this, like, she fills my existential dread cup, you know, like, she's like, we're right here, you guys, we're right here. So yeah, I definitely, Mary Oliver is her name, check her out. Now, I'm not a poetry person, but this, if you're gonna do it, this would be the one.
What are you gonna do with your one precious life? That gives me goosebumps. That's the question. And one thing I've noticed is just neighborhood, in the community, wherever, bringing the kids here or there, I ask people that question, what do you want? What's your dream? And they look like stunned that somebody's asking them this question. And it's like nobody has ever asked them the question. And so they never thought about it, right? And so because they've never thought about it, that's why they're stuck. And it's just amazing transformation. So those are some good mentors. I like it. Yeah, Louise Hay, everything Hay House seems to be pretty awesome. And Dr. Joe is amazing.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I think there is this part of me that after, this is one of those inputs, right? Like, who am I, though? You know, excluding all the reader, all the people I read, who am I excluding my senses? Who am I excluding all of this? And I'm really on this path right now to figure that out, because I do have these mentors and these people that I adore that have, like, built my framework. And now I'm kind of curious, like, what's Wayne's framework? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you know who Wayne Dyer is?
Yeah.
He talks almost exactly what you just said, but who am I? Who am I behind the clothes, behind the face, behind the looks? Who am I? Who
right
am
there.
I? Who am I? Comes up, the answer to who am I is I am.
Yes.
All right, so before I ask my final question, is there something you want to share, talk about, any messages, folk, tools, anything with business, more travel plans, speaking engagements, anything you want? Take it wherever you want.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I live in Eugene, Oregon, so we definitely have some events going on here. But the best way to find me is my Instagram, Financial Coaching with Wave. I made a video in the shower the other day, so I'll just let you guys come find that. My partner was like, do we really need to be naked on the internet? And I said, I think so. It's the most authentic me. And so, again, Financial Coaching with Wave on Instagram. You can also go to my website, coachingwithwave.com. Please reach out to me. I love it. I love being on podcasts and hearing from people. I can point you just to resources. I do offer one-on-one coaching. It's my favorite thing to do. That's where we really dive deep into your life, get a strategic map going, and get you on your way to feeling really confident about your money. So, yeah.
Brilliant. That was my final question, was where can people reach you? So now I got a different one. But I messed up earlier. I said, I don't even know, maybe it was just a Freudian slip, but I said schedule instead of
a budget. Yeah.
A budget. But so my question with those is, and it's because the reason there is that it feels like work until we add play into it. And that's why they both kind of are both like, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, my question would be then, how often should people review that financial plan?
Yeah. So if, you know, my budget, I touch it twice a week for about 10 minutes. It's just enough for me to remember what I'm doing with my life. Like, hey, you're saving up for the orcas over here. And then on Friday, just enough, and on Monday, just enough to adjust for the fact that I made some spending decisions that weren't like perfect on the budget. No big deal. Make some shifts. I got lost in the question, JP, because I got excited. But yeah, so like how often, right? Yeah, this is the golden retriever version. So how often do we touch it? You know, at first there is an investment, right? Working with me, say for three or five months, we go all in, right? And then at that point, everything should be set up where you don't need, you know, it's set, you're good to go. And you don't feel that fear, shame, or guilt, or lay awake at night, and not telling your friends that you're struggling. You should definitely tell your friends. You should have a party, get some champagne, and introduce everyone to the fact that you're struggling and that you have this debt and you need help. Like, we absolutely need to uplight this. It's time. It is holding back so many people, and I'm just over that. I'm over it. So. Please, please know that you can reach out to me, talk to your best friend, like release that those feelings. They don't, you know, you don't have to struggle.
And I love the part where you said it's only about 10 minutes twice a week. So that's very good. Wave, I'm so grateful for your time today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, JP.